Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday, March 8th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. And it's great to see so many eager people ready to step forward and serve in a diverse group of appointments. So I'm Diane Rosenbaum, the chair of the Senate Rules Committee, and we are here to hear from each of you what we're going to ask you to do by the group of the board or commission that you're being appointed to is to come forward, tell us a little about yourself, your background, very briefly, and then why you want to serve on this particular board or commission. And then we will be acting on all of these appointments by the governor at the close of today's hearing. So that's how we operate. Up here with me are my vice chair, Senator Ted Ferrioli, one of our members, Senator Bruce Starr, and just walking in, the very lovely and very eager Senator Ginny Burdick. And so we'll be listening attentively to what you have to say. Okay, so I will begin by opening a public hearing on the appointments of Dr. Saba Mera, who is going to be joining us by phone, and Bonnie Thompson, who's here in person to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors. So Bonnie, if you'd like to come forward to the dais.
Dr. Mera.
Good morning. Is this Dr. Mera?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Mera. This is Diane Rosenbaum. I'm the Senate Chair of the Rules Committee. We've just brought our committee to order, and in the room with us is Dr. Bonnie Thompson. So we're going to hear from her first. What we're going to ask you to do after she speaks is just tell us very briefly a little about your background and why you want to serve on the Patient Safety Commission. So hold on a minute, and we will be right with you.
Great. Okay, thank you.
And Ms. Thompson, please say your name for the record and go right ahead.
I'm Bonnie Thompson, and thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, for giving me this opportunity to speak. I am here as a nominee for the Oregon Patient Safety Commission. And by background, I am a nurse, and I was a nurse practitioner and now a hospital administrator out in Seaside, Oregon. And I was really excited about learning about this opportunity. I've been a Director of Patient Safety and Organizational Excellence for a number of years and recently moved to Oregon, where I took a job with Providence. And I was looking through the website trying to find patient safety things and was really excited to find that the legislature here has put in a collaborative process that allowed hospitals and other healthcare organizations to work together to keep patients safe. And I know, especially now in this time where, you know, there's so much going on with healthcare reform and economics, that sometimes it's easy to lose track of the patients. And the idea that there was a group of people whose sole focus was making sure that we don't harm our patients was just really inspiring to me and something that I really wanted to be a part of. So I'm really excited about this opportunity and would be really honored to be able to be on this commission.
Great. Thank you very much. And next we'll hear from Dr. Mera. And Dr. Mera, if you'd just state your name for the record, then tell us a little about your background and why you'd like to serve on the Patient Safety Commission. Please go ahead.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Chava Mera. I'm Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. I'm the Executive Medical Director of Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oregon and the Deputy Chief Medical Officer for Cambia Health Solutions. I've had a 23-year career in clinical medicine, emergency medicine, pediatric hematology, oncology, and then about 17 more years on top of that as a medical director in various health plans. Throughout that time, whether I was in the emergency room, taking care of patients, in my office, I was very much tuned into the concepts of patient safety, designed a number of crash carts and other emergency assistance devices. I was the quality and chair of a number of committees, and during my time as associate professor at the University of California, Irvine, I've been a Malcolm Baldrige examiner and have seen a number of health systems that have won awards and appreciated their attention, the critical attention that's needed, especially in the inpatient, in the hospital setting, in the facility setting, around patient safety. This extends certainly into the practitioner area as well, and that's something that I'm especially also interested in the clinical setting. I'm particularly interested because in the years that I've been in the role of the medical director, having reviewed credentialing files and having reviewed many, many cases where I had concerns about simple things that could have been done to address patient safety. It's something that has always interested me in terms of trying to be able to influence it in a much more palpable way so that we can avoid all the unnecessary misery and morbidity and mortality that we've seen in various reports over the years. And I would be thrilled and honored to be a part of this committee and try and contribute from both my clinical background and my experience as a medical executive in various health plans.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Hold on just a minute. We may have some questions. So are there any questions for these two appointees? I actually do have one, and this is Senator Rosenbaum again. I know when this commission was created a few years ago, one of the issues that arose was the confidentiality of the reporting. And obviously now we've had some years of experience of reporting sort of, you know, data that is not as specific as some people think it could be. And then I'm not necessarily going to ask you about that, but I think what I do want to ask you about is just what do you think is the interaction between the role of patients themselves taking a more aggressive role in ensuring their own good treatment? And specifically what I was just thinking of is an article that was in the newspaper in the last few days about just asking medical providers to wash their hands when they come into the room to treat you and how important it is and how people are frequently embarrassed to say, did you wash your hands, if you don't actually see somebody wash your hands. So I wonder if either of you has a comment on how patients can better ensure their own good care and how that interacts with the role of the provider.
Absolutely. I think patients need to be empowered. They need to know that they're the experts, and they need to be able to feel like they're a partner in their healthcare, not the recipient of healthcare. And so trying to help them feel comfortable asking questions, encouraging them to, empowering them to say things like, I know she didn't wash your hands, I think it's where healthcare needs to go. And I know that traditionally people came in and we would tell them as healthcare providers, these are the things that you need to do. And it needs to become more of a conversation. And I think as that happens, we'll start seeing patients feel more comfortable speaking up because they see people come and go. I would have an interaction with a patient. They're interacting with tons of people, and they need to be able to make sure that we're keeping them safe. They have got more vested in their healthcare than any of us do, even though we care a lot. And we need to be able to really acknowledge the fact that they know what's going on. They're seeing every little detail. And they're probably paying attention better than we are, even with our best intentions. And so we need to capitalize on that because they're going to see things and catch things that we might not just because we're so familiar with the environment. And so finding a way to really, really empower those patients to speak up and feel comfortable and proud of doing it, I think is a challenge, but I think it's a very worthwhile challenge.
Thank you. Dr. Mara, did you have a comment?
Yes. I think one of the things that we're seeing is much more engagement by consumers in a variety of settings in terms of making decisions about their own health care. And I think we need to keep supporting and moving that along because even simple things that you mentioned where whether you're an inpatient and I've had a personal experience where it was surprising that nurses would be going from patient to patient without washing their hands, or whether you're in an office where the patient where the physician goes from office to office, and a simple thing like the washing of the hands is such a struggle for people, and I think they need to be much more empowered to be able to speak out about their the impact that that could have on their own health. And certainly with, on the other end of the spectrum, Senate Bill 483, which is I think going to be signed fairly soon here by Governor Kitzhaber, gives, once again, empowers at the other end of the spectrum where consumers are now going to be able to report adverse events. So I think we need to keep pushing that agenda. I think we need to keep supporting consumers in really taking much more direction and charge in their own healthcare, especially around patient safety.
Thank you for that answer. And just for those who might be listening out in internet land, Senate Bill 483 is a bill that recently passed both the Senate and the House that sets up an early dispute and mediation program for things that did not go well between patients and their doctors. And Senator Farioli, I believe, has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not so much a question, maybe a question then an observation. What do you think the role of the board is in insisting that we have better reporting of hospital-acquired infections and incidences of the failure of protocol, public reporting of those incidents?
I think the role of the board is to be able to put some, to put much more strength behind efforts to make people aware of what is going on around them, the environments of the healthcare systems that they're going to be interacting with. And I think there are other countries where there's some pretty open reporting on a variety of these kind of things. And although, there's going to be pushback at times, if it's done properly, it can be very productive and very positive.
I think it's vitally important that we have transparency around healthcare. I think people need to be aware of what's going on. There needs to be set metrics, and everybody needs to report the same way so that people actually can have information before they go into a healthcare organization and how they do. But I also think if we don't know what's broken, we can't fix it. And so until we get those mechanisms in place where that we're making sure that everybody has a place that they can share how they're doing and know that they're going to be able to get some help and have somebody they can work with for best processes, it's going to be really hard to fix things if we aren't sharing what's wrong. And so I think it is incredibly important that we have transparency around that.
Madam Chairman.
Yes, Senator Farioli.
I think it would be better if the protocols for transparency came from within the industry, but often that is not possible. Then, Madam Chairman, an observation. I, like others, have been in hospitals and watched practitioners of every qualification wash their hands religiously and then pick a pen from behind the ear or put a pen in the hair or drop it on the floor, and then they're working on patient records.
Yep.
You know, they wash their hands on entry into the room, but they're interacting with the patient physically using a pen. You know, and there's so many different potential vectors. As this person has said, you almost have to have somebody from outside the system watching, because the routines get routine. Mm-hmm. But I think the way to get better patient outcomes is to have public reporting of hospital-acquired infections. It's a lot more prevalent than people realize.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you both for appearing today, and I will close this public hearing. And thank you, Dr. Mara. We'll let you get on with your work.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Thank you. And I think our next person is also joining us by telephone. Is this Sherry Moss Anderson?
This is Sherry Moss Anderson.
Good morning, Ms. Moss Anderson. And I am Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Rules Committee. And I will now open a public hearing on the appointment of Sherry Moss Anderson to the Oregon Educators Benefit Board. We're sitting here in Salem, as you know, and with me are Senators Ted Farioli, Senator Jenny Burdick, and Senator Bruce Starr. And what we would like to hear from you is just a little brief information about your background and why you would like to serve on the Oregon Education Benefit Board, Educators Benefit Board. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Senators. The reason why I'm interested in this board, I've been on the Joint Committee on Insured Benefits for Portland Community College since 2006. We're a joint committee with management, and we make recommendations to the negotiation bargaining teams on what plans that we need to have covered. I've been on this committee since 2006, and then with the creation of the OEBB, we helped the college to go into easily join the OEBB and making recommendations of the medical and dental insurance that we offer here at the college. That's basically my interest. I've been at the last two board meetings for the OEBB in Salem as a attendance member, which I will go tomorrow too and be in the attendance, but I really enjoy the board and I really think I can make a contribution to it.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve, and let's see if we have any questions. Any questions from committee members? Okay, I don't see any questions for you this morning, so we'll let you get back to your busy day, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
And I'll close the public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Jonathan Grossart to the State Board of Massage Therapists. If Jonathan would like to come forward. Good morning and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. And if you'd just like to start by stating your name and then tell us a little bit about your background and interest in serving.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is John Grossart. I'm a certified rolfer in an LMT in Oregon. I've been certified in rolfing since 2006 and started my practice in Portland in 2007 here. For the last 3 years, I've been peripherally involved with the board as a volunteer member on the multidisciplinary task force, as well as for the last year and a half on the scope of practice committee. So I've been involved with the board for a couple years now, and so it's kind of the next logical step is to get a little more involved with the board. And specifically, the reason I'm involved working with the board is to say the board has had some tumultuous relationships with some of the peripheral fields of the massage therapy world would be kind. And coming from that kind of periphery, I think it would help the board to have a viewpoint of someone who's not a traditional massage therapist but still falls under the purview of the board.
Great. Any questions? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so thank you for being here in person and taking time out of your busy life to serve on this important board.
Thank you, Senators.
Thank you again. And I'll close the public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Chad Dresselhaus to the State Mortuary and Cemetery Board, if you'd like to come forward. Good morning. Welcome
Good morning.
To the Senate Rules
Thank
Committee.
You.
If you'd just like to tell us a little about yourself and why you'd like to serve.
Okay. Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Chad Dresselhaus, and I guess I could talk brief about my background. I have an educational background, intended on teaching high school. But prior to that, I actually served in the United States Navy, actually was a veteran before I could legally drink, which is kind of interesting. That's another whole other issue. I went to George Fox University, got my master's in teaching, unfortunately. As teaching jobs, it's kind of a up and down type of situation. Unfortunately, I was in the down. Was fortunate to find a job at an alternative high school where I taught for 3.5 years. High-risk youth, mostly this was their last chance. They've been kicked out all the local schools, and they were kind of facing jail time, those types of things. It was a high-stress job because it was a full year-round program. Last year that I was teaching, I attended paralegal school. So after I graduated from there, got a job at a law firm, worked there for about a year. That was kind of a high-stress job as well. Working for a law firm, the setting just wasn't for me. So fortunately, through a temp agency, I was able to find the job that I work at now, where I'm a compliance manager for a company that provides trust administration for funeral homes and cemeteries. And that's actually how I became familiar with this board. I've worked with this board kind of as a informal member of the Consumer Industry Advisory Committee, which was created by a past president, created for kind of an opportunity for industry and board to talk about potential administrative rules, those types of things. I've spoken at administrative rule hearings. I've given testimony for bills relating to this industry. So I just feel it's a time that I'd like to participate kind of on the other side as a board member. And because many if not all of our clients are licensees of this board. So it just would give me a better perspective, and I believe my experience will enhance the board in some ways. And it will also teach me things as well. Thank you.
Great. Well, you've certainly followed a varied path to your present occupation.
His varying experiences, correct.
Any questions? Okay, it looks like you answered them all, so
okay.
Thank you again
thank
for
you.
Your willingness to serve, and we'll
appreciate
be acting
it.
On your appointment at the close of today's hearing. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Charles Wiggins to the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Medicine. Good morning. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good morning.
And
thank you, Chair Rosenbaum.
I think you know our drill by now, so just go ahead.
Thanks. My name is Charles Wiggins, and I live in Portland, Oregon, where I've lived since 1993. I've, for almost 40 years now, been a professor at the University of San Diego's Law School, where I teach constitutional and civil rights law, bioethics, and perhaps most importantly for my appointment, I work in the field of conflict resolution, both negotiation and mediation, as a mediator and trainer, both in the United States and abroad. So I'm interested in becoming a member of the Board of Naturopathic Medicine. I believe in the orientation toward natural health. I thought the comment about patient involvement and their own treatment earlier in this committee's hearing was interesting, because I think that's a fundamental aspect of naturopathic medicine. I also think that it's a wonderful opportunity at this time, with such a dynamic change in the healthcare system, especially in Oregon, and the opportunity for Oregon and naturopathic medicine to really be at the forefront of that national effort. And it's a privilege to be nominated, and thank you very much for letting me appear.
Great. Well, thank you for being here so early in the day, and we appreciate your willingness to take on another assignment in addition to your busy duties, and especially for me, since I'm your state senator, it's very good to see you.
Thank you, Senator.
Any questions or comments? Okay, great. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Ryan Wayman to the Oregon State Board of Nursing. And as he's coming forward, I'll just mention that our next person we'll hear from will be Juanita Shepherd, so she can be ready. Good morning. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good morning, Madam Chair,
like
and
to just
senators.
State your name and then tell us a little about yourself and your interest in serving.
Absolutely. My name is Ryan Wayman. I'm a small business owner in Portland, Oregon. I've lived in Oregon my entire life. Went to Oregon State University. Go Beavs. And I nurses hold a very special place in my heart. About 18 years ago, my family had the need of bringing in a nurse to our home. And at a young age, witnessing my uncle dying of HIV and AIDS and the progression. Not only was it financially a burden on my family, but emotionally it was a burden. And I quickly appreciated the importance of a qualified, caring, and compassionate nurse in our home to care for my uncle in his dying days. As a profession, I'm a financial planner and risk manager. Primarily what I do is help families mitigate risk, particularly in the insurance side, so making sure that families can afford qualified care, like bringing in a registered nurse into their homes or sending their loved ones to a care facility. I'm extremely interested in this position and honored to be a nominee for the state nursing board as a public member. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing your personal story and for your interest in serving. Any questions? No, see any. So thank you again for being here. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Juanita Shepherd to the Occupational Therapy and Licensing Board. And after we hear from, do we have two people? We must have it. Okay. And after this appointment, we'll be hearing from Molly Cardinale, so she can be getting ready. Good morning. Please
good morning, Chair
go
Rosenbaum,
ahead.
Senators. My name is Juanita Shepherd. I'm from Beaverton. I'm here for the appointment of Occupational Therapy Licensing Board, and I feel very privileged and humbled for the opportunity. My background is that I am an Alexander Technique teacher and a Pilates instructor, and back in 2002, I had a stroke and was involved in a stroke support group after that time, and my involvement with the stroke support group led me to Pacific University and some of the people there who were involved with the group. Anyway, all that to say, eventually the opportunity came for the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board, and so I am excited about the opportunity to serve and to protect the public in this profession that does what is kind of near and dear to my heart, which is helping people with their everyday tasks and functionality. And I just thank you for your time this morning.
Great. Well, thank you. We're glad to hear that you're doing well and working and taking on
this responsibility.
Any questions?
Yes. Are you still able to do Pilates?
Yes. Yes.
I'm a Pilates enthusiast.
And I'm Felicia Holgate, director of the board, and I just want to tell you I'm delighted to have Juanita be our public member. She's already attended a board meeting, was here last week when we had OT day at the legislature.
Great. Well, thank you for being here as well, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of today's hearing.
Yeah.
Thanks again. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Molly Cardinale to the Oregon Board of Optometry. And next after her, we'll hear from Heather Anderson. Good morning. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. And if you'd like to just state your name, tell us a little about your background and why you'd like to serve in this position.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Molly Cardinale, and I'm a nominee for to serve on the Oregon Board of Optometry. For the past 3 years, I've had the honor of serving the veterans of our great nation at the Portland VA Medical Center as an optometrist. I also provide clinical education to interns and residents there as well. I believe I bring some very complementary experience to the mission of the board. That is, I've previously served on the academic committee of my university while I was a student. That committee serves in a very similar function as the Board of Optometry within the institution. I've also been an examiner for the National Board of Examiners in Optometry, and I'm currently a clinical educator, and I make regular contributions to the American Academy of Optometry, of which I'm a fellow of that association. I believe I bring quite a good broad experience in the various areas of optometry, and my utmost concern is to protect the people of the great state of Oregon by ensuring that they have the highest quality eye care mm-hmm. available. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have for me today. Thank you for your time.
Great. Well, thank you for being willing to serve in this position. Any questions? Looks like we have quite a few consumers of the services that you provide. Okay, well, thanks again for being
here.
Thank
you so much for your time.
And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Heather Anderson to the State Board of Pharmacy. And after her, we'll be hearing from two people, Sandra Jenkins and Dr. Anne-Marie Smith. Good morning. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Just state your name and tell us a little about your background and interest in serving.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. I'm Heather Anderson. I'm a COO of a small startup software firm locally. I've been honored to be nominated to be the public member of the State Board of Pharmacy. My interest is one in providing the kind of government we all want, which is a participatory democracy, and think it's important for people to give back. I have the luxury of pretty much setting my own schedule, so I have the time available to participate fully with the board. I'm looking forward to learning more about pharmacies and have started researching the board's actions to date, and I'm interested to see how things progress with some of the legislation and other matters in the state. Other than that, I think I provide an interesting balance, given my background with investigations and understanding disciplinary and compliance matters, that I should be able to contribute to provide an independent, hopefully useful opinion for the board. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Looks like there probably are not any questions. I just want to thank you for taking this on because the public member on boards such as this plays an extremely important role, obviously, in terms of bringing the patient voice into the discussion and somebody with eyes outside the profession. So it sounds like you'll be doing that well.
Thank you for hearing me today.
Thank you again. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of Sandra Jenkins and Dr. Anne Marie Smith to the State Board of Psychologist Examiners. If both of you would like to come forward, take a seat. We have two microphones, so you could actually turn one of them toward you if you want, and you don't need to get very close to them. They're pretty sensitive. So good morning again, and we'd like to hear from you a little first by stating your name and then tell us about your background and why you'd like to serve on the Board of Psychologist Examiners.
Well, thank you. I'm Sandra Jenkins, a licensed clinical psychologist. Most of my career has been spent in college teaching and a private practice. I've taught at Lewis and Clark College in the master's program at the School of Social Work. And for the last 24 years, I've taught at the School of Professional Psychology at Pacific University. One of my main interests is human diversity, teaching and training students in that area. And I'm interested in serving on the board because of my interest in education and training.
Great. Thank you.
Good morning, Senators. My name is Anne Marie Smith. I'm a transplant to Oregon. I was born and raised in Puerto Rico and completed my higher education in Texas. I have a bachelor's in psychology and education, a master's in teaching, a master's in clinical psychology, and a doctorate in philosophy in clinical psychology. I moved to Oregon in 2001 or 2002. And for a internship at the Morrison Center Child and Family Services. And I completed a postdoctoral residency with the Oregon Youth Authority. And I also did a partial residency at the Oregon State Hospital Forensic Evaluation Service, where I was employed a few years after that. I currently contract with the Forensic Evaluation Service at the Oregon State Hospital. I guess I should also say I'm a licensed psychologist. I currently contract with the Forensic Evaluation Service as well as do some work contracting with the Oregon Youth Authority. My area of specialty is forensic psychology, and what I primarily do with that is evaluate criminal defendants for issues of criminal responsibility and also trial competency. And my interests outside of loving my profession and wanting to help maintain ethics and standards within that profession, my interest is providing a forensic perspective to the board, which does not exist right now, or they have no forensic member on the board. And there's been some recent legislative mandates regarding forensic psychology and the practice of which, and I would like to help navigate help the board navigate through some of those issues. So that's my primary interest in serving on the board, and I would be happy to do so if so confirmed.
Great. Well, thank you. Does anyone have questions? No. I was going to ask you one question, and don't feel put on the spot if you don't know the answer to this, because there's no reason why you should, but I got an email recently from somebody who's in a training program for psychologists here in Oregon, and it was somebody who lives in a rural area and was saying that basically there were very few practicums or internships that she needs to complete as part of her training in her local area, and that in the past it had been permissible to travel to some other location, and I don't remember all the details, but it seemed like the licensing rules had changed a little bit to make it more difficult for someone who didn't have a lot of opportunities to do the practical experience component of training. Are you at all familiar with that issue?
I'm not right now.
Yeah. Okay.
I know that there's been some recent movement on the Education Committee within the Board of Psychologist Examiners to address some training issues. That particular issue, I'm not aware of what direction it's moving at this point, though. I do have to say a lot of people who get trained in rural areas don't have equal opportunity. I mean, that's I would say, a fair statement in any area of practice.
Right. Okay. Well, I don't see any other questions, so thank you both for bringing so much background to this important assignment, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of today's hearing.
Thank you
again. And I'll close the public hearing, and we are going to have someone joining us by phone, and then also, and I'm going to butcher your name, I'm afraid, Newton Arora, to the State Board of Tax Practitioners, if you'd like to come forward. And Michael Addington is joining us by phone. Good morning. Is this Michael Addington?
Yes, it is.
Good morning. This is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Rules Committee. We're here convened in an executive appointment session in Salem. So we're hearing from two appointees to the Board of Tax Practitioners. We'll ask Newton Arora to tell me how to correctly pronounce her name and a little about her background, and then we'll hear from you. So hold with us just a minute. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. It's a privilege to be here. You were actually pronouncing my name correctly. It is Newton Arora. And I am a licensed tax consultant and enrolled agent. I have a degree in accounting. I have been in the tax business for since I moved to this country. I came in 1982 from India after I got my undergrad degree in accounting, and I had done some graduate level classes in taxation. So I've always been kind of associated, connected with taxes. That was the first course that I took in this country after I moved here within a few months of moving. Off and on, I've been coming back to taxation. But it was only after I moved to Oregon. So I've lived in many states here and practiced as a tax practitioner in New York and Illinois, ran my own business for a while. But it was only after I moved to Oregon in 2000 that I felt that I belong in this profession. And the reason was the licensing and compliance rules that Oregon has. It gave me pride. It made me feel like a professional. And that's when I really became involved in it. I went and got my EA license. I got very involved in the item writing committee. And with the H&R Block also, I got very involved in the course development to make sure that more people who are taking the classes get the knowledge and pass the exams. I have been teaching the basic and advanced classes now for the last 16 years. And every day when I am in the office and I see people from diverse backgrounds and coming in and putting so much trust in me and faith in me, it just makes me feel even more that I would like to be involved in making sure that there are standards and that there is, we make sure that people comply with the rules so that we earn the trust that the general public is placing in us. And that is why I'm very interested in being a member of the board. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And next we'll hear from Michael Addington. If you'd like to state your name for the record, tell us a little about your background and why you'd like to serve on this board.
Hello, thank you. We do have a really lousy connection here. Mm-hmm. Hope you can hear me okay.
We can hear you fine.
Good. So my name is Michael Addington. I am an enrolled agent. I am a licensed tax consultant in Oregon for more than 20 years. I live in Bend, Oregon. I did serve on the board in 2005, and I wanted to serve again. I'm very involved in the industry. I've been past president of the Oregon Society of Enrolled Agents, and I'm a member of several associations, and I stay up to date with all of the current issues. I've been to a couple of the last board meetings, so I am up to date with what's going on the board.
Great. Well, thank you for being willing to take this on. And are there any questions? This is not really in the nature of a question, but I don't know how accurate this is. I came across a statistic recently that only one out of three people actually prepare their own taxes, and I don't know if that actually includes people that use software programs like TurboTax, but that would be a lot of people who are using tax preparers.
Yes.
Of all sorts. So.
Yes, I believe that's true, and that is why I feel, because as I said, I have lived and worked in other states, and I was really disenchanted with the profession when I moved here, and I was actually thinking of changing my field. But it was the licensing requirement here that made me feel that, yes, you know, if we are getting paid, and if you say one out of three only prepared, that means two people out of three are coming to people like me, then it is very important that we stay current with the tax laws and we do a good job for our clients.
Right, indeed. Okay, well, thank you both for appearing and being willing to serve. We'll act on your appointment at the close of today's hearing.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Addington. Have a good day. And I'll close the public hearing. And next, we'll have a big group. We may need to pull up an extra chair. I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Carol Hickman, Bern Kronberger, Joan Lewis, and William Dietz to the Oregon Volunteers Commission for Voluntary Action and Service. Great. Thank you all for waiting so patiently. And whichever of you would like to go first, just tell us your name, a little bit about yourself, and why you'd like to serve.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. I'm Carol Hickman. I'm a Portland resident and a very proud constituent of Senators Devlin and Representative Garrett. I'm here today as a nominee for appointment for Oregon Volunteers, the Commission for Voluntary Action and Service. For the past 12 years, I've worked in statewide nonprofits here in Oregon, and currently I'm the Director of Membership and Community Development for Girl Scouts of Oregon and Southwest Washington. Any Girl Scouts? I'm also a lifelong volunteer, and as a volunteer, I've done everything from ringing doorbells to serving meals, pulling ivy, raising money, marching, reading grants for the Oregon Arts Commission and the Oregon Cultural Trust, advocating with our federal legislation, singing to senior citizens, and sitting on boards of directors. For the past several years, bless you. I've also been a member of Oregon Volunteers Committee on Civic Engagement, and it would be a real privilege to expand my role through service on the commission itself. When I was a young person starting out in the world and trying to establish myself, I asked my parents, who moved quite a bit in their lifetimes, how they became part of a new community. Their advice was simple. You register to vote, you read the newspaper of records, you get a library card, and you volunteer. Those words have served me well, and I've passed them on to my children. My youngest now lives in New York City, and when she went to her new neighborhood, she called up the local senior center there and asked about volunteering. And the woman who answered the phone said, "Oh, honey, you're going to have your parole officer call and set that up." And Hannah laughed. True story. She laughed and she said, "No, you don't understand. I want to volunteer. I'm from Oregon. That's what we do. And that's why I would like to serve on this commission." Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you very much. That's a great story. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators Burdick, Friroli, and Starr. My name is Bernie Kronberger. I'm a regional community affairs manager for Wells Fargo in Portland. I reside in Beaverton, Oregon. I've been a lifelong Oregonian I came here from Europe, actually from Vienna, Austria, when I was 5 years old, and emigrated and settled in the Eugene area and went through my entire public education there, and also as a graduate at the University of Oregon. As Regional Community Affairs Manager for Wells Fargo in Oregon, Southwest Washington, I have oversight responsibilities for philanthropy, charitable giving, volunteerism, and government outreach activities. Prior to that, I also had the responsibilities for community development, which pertains to community reinvestment activities. I've been a long time employee of First National Bank of Oregon, First Interstate, and now Wells Fargo since 1996. I've served in various capacities on nonprofit organizations throughout my entire career. I've also had the privilege, my organization, my company, of being the key sponsor for the Governor's Awards for Volunteerism since 2011. We also provide financial awards to individual winners that can then provide those financial awards for dedicated nonprofit organizations that they support. It's been a very fulfilling experience for Wells Fargo to be a sponsor of this, and I hope in my capacity as a nominee to be considered for the commission that I would bring greater awareness to the public sector and volunteerism and the positive impact it has on community sustainability. I believe I have the skill set and background and networking experience to be considered for the commission appointment. Thank you for allowing this opportunity to appear before you today, and I also wish to thank you for your commitment to the state of Oregon. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Yes. I'm Joan Lewis, and I'm here as a nominee for the same group, the Volunteer Commission for Volunteer Action and Service. Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum, and all you senators for your service, as well as taking the time to hear from us individually this morning. Volunteer is my middle name, is that fair? Back when I was much younger, having a small child, I was going stir crazy, and so volunteerism became a path for me to feel like I was contributing to my community, became involved in my community, and so on. My greatest achievement in volunteerism, I suppose, would be my work. I'm retired from the state of Washington. I was executive director of the statewide health insurance advisory, which is run by volunteers. And for me, when I first took over, we had about 70 volunteers by the time I left, several years later. We had over 400. We used to serve a few hundred people a year. It now serves well over 150,000. And I believe that part of this is the whole community action piece of volunteerism. It's not enough to just set up a volunteer program, but working in local communities with local people to engage their people is, in my experience, how it works best. I will say that the Washington State SHEBA program is the model for Oregon's program. The only difference is that in Washington, we counseled and still do all ages, as opposed to here, it's just seniors. I am very familiar also with federal grants. I served on the National State Health Insurance Program Committee and actually set up the guidelines for the federal grants that serve the states. I've trained nationally. And currently, let's see, when I retired in 2007, everybody told me, don't make any commitments for the first year. Well, that took about 3 months. I went on the board of 211 Info. I have been chair of the board from 2006. No, I got on the board in 2006, been chair since 09 to 12. I still serve on the executive committee. I'm also on the board of directors of the William Temple House and the Episcopal Diocese of Oregon Recovery Commission. All these are necessary volunteer structures. They could not possibly do the work that they do in this community or any community without volunteers. And there's another factor that makes this of interest to me, additionally, is our economy. There are a lot of people out there that are having to reinvent themselves. And we have an opportunity through volunteerism to have them feel some self-worth that they may or may not be feeling, learn some new skill sets, get some experience, so when they're writing resumes, they don't look blank in this period of time when they may be either out of work or not working as much as usual. I have attended a commission meeting. I was kind of fascinated at a lot of the crossover from my own personal experience, and I just think it's such a worthwhile endeavor, and I'm very, very pleased that there is an organization in this state getting the kind of attention you people are giving it today at your level. I think that's very important that we don't have a runaway volunteer community. So thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for bringing such great background to this position. And please go ahead.
Certainly. Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, I'm Bill Diaz. Some of you know me from my career in radio and television news in Portland. I grew up in Portland, went to high school there, went to college, graduated from Portland State. And I grew up in a family where volunteerism was part of our fabric. We volunteered in church activities, we volunteered in community activities, and we try to instill this in our children. And currently, I am the corporate events and corporate relations and events director for Volunteers of America, Oregon, after my news career ended. And we're finding, so I've approached volunteerism from both sides. Being on the air, we're often asked to help with fundraising events for nonprofits, and I've been doing that for years. But I've also, since I've come over to Volunteers of America, Oregon, seen the impact that volunteers have on an organization such as ours, where we could not do the work we do without the support of hundreds of volunteers who help out in our programs. We have 24 programs. About 7 of them could be standalone. We do things from drug rehabilitation to domestic violence counseling to keeping children safe from abuse. And so what we're finding is something that you mentioned during this downturn in our economy. We're getting a lot of people coming in who help maintain their skills through their volunteer action. We work with volunteers in my own office just about every day who are helping us enter data and things like that, and they can put it on their resume. So I'm totally supportive of this commission. I'm honored to be nominated for it, and I thank you very much for considering me.
Well, thank you all four of you for your willingness to serve. And are there any questions for these good folks? I don't see any. I don't really want to open up a can of worms with this question, but a couple of your comments really did make me think about what is going on in the transition in this economy and just, you know, the massive, massive unemployment numbers that we're still, I think, reeling from the last few years. And, you know, it's one of the features of that is so many people of all ages who can't get work and are then relying on unpaid volunteer experience or internships, and employers also having to be quite careful to make sure that they're not using people who really are employees in an unpaid capacity. So I don't know if you've thought at all about that tension, because clearly there's a huge role to play, as you pointed out, in people getting experience and keeping engaged, but there's this other sort of, yes.
I'd like to comment on that, because I'm finding myself in the position of being a mentor. I didn't I didn't apply for this position, but people are coming to me and asking me, how did you get volunteer positions? How do you do this? And I just want you to know, the page on the state website...
And you might want to move back a little bit from the mic.
Sorry. Yeah. The page on the state website that lists all the commissions, I've printed that out as part of a handout I do with people and say, you don't have to apply for these positions, but look at the number of categories. Before you volunteer, you have to figure out what your interests are, where your passions are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that list is incredible at helping people figure it out. And then from there, we can go to the various kinds of roles they can play and what the particular organizations are.
Great. That's really helpful.
Okay. Well, thank you again, and we'll be acting shortly on your appointment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Jessica Rodriguez-Montaña and Barbara Spencer to the Commission for Women, if you'd both like to come forward. And then after that, our last appointee that we'll hear from today will be Claire Spanbach. Good morning. Thank you for waiting so patiently. I'm sure it's fascinating to listen to all these other people. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be eagerly awaiting hearing from you, your name, why you'd like to serve on the Commission for Women, and a little about your background. Whichever of you'd like to have.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Jessica Rodriguez-Montaña, and I live in North Portland. Thank you for this opportunity to address you and to share why I would like to form part of the Commission for Women. For nearly a decade, I have worked with nonprofits and communities of color to establish collaborative processes. I currently work for Oregon Consensus, where I do mediation work and facilitation work across Oregon. Many of these organizations that I've worked for have focused on women's rights issues. I've worked domestically and internationally with women's groups on a variety of issues such as domestic violence, education, microenterprise, and rehabilitation services for incarcerated women. My desire to serve on the Commission for Women is to draw on this knowledge that I've gained through these experiences to also highlight the issues that women face and to advocate for policies that benefit all Oregon women. It would be an honor and privilege to assume this position. Thank you so much for your time and consideration.
Thank you for your willingness to serve. Yeah. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators of this committee. I'm Barbara Spencer from Portland, Oregon, and I'm honored to be considered as a nominee for the Commission for Women. My professional experience consists of over 40 years in the public, private, and academic sectors, with 20 years as a transportation executive in New York City. My educational background includes a master's and doctoral degree from Columbia University in the field of adult and organizational development. Here in my adopted state, I've transferred my energies to volunteer and consulting work in the field of women's issues. I've become involved with issues for women and girls through AAUW as co-president of the Portland branch, the Women's Transportation Seminar, Girls Inc., the Center for Women Politics and Policy at Portland State University, and the Commission for Women. I want to be a strong advocate for women's equity and parity, self-sufficiency, personal security, and leadership at all stages of a woman's life. I understand that to reach the goals in these areas, there's a need for partnership, collaboration, and creativity in addressing the diverse needs of women and girls within all parts of this vast state. The Oregon Commission has set out important goals for 2013. I'm committed to working on the state and local level with Commission members and analyzing what needs to be done and developing an achievable plan of action. It would be my privilege to support the work of the Commission and to serve as an advocate for women and young girls. I would bring passion and energy to my work, but thank you for considering my nomination.
Well, thank you both for your willingness to serve, and as a past member of the Commission for Women, I can tell you that you're definitely signing up for a really important and fulfilling assignment. These commissions really play a vital role in giving a voice and a seat at the table for what we do here. Mm-hmm. So, any questions or comments for these good folks? I don't see any, so thank you very much for being here. We'll be acting shortly on your appointment. I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Claire Spanbach to the State Workforce Investment Board. Thank you very much for waiting so patiently, and we are eagerly awaiting hearing who you are.
why you'd like to serve on the State Workforce Investment Board.
Good morning. My name is Claire Spanbach, and thank you for your consideration for an appointment to the State Workforce Investment Board. I'm a native New Yorker, but I've lived in Oregon for the past 12 years. My background is I'm a registered nurse, and I have 30 years of experience. I'm an operating room nurse, and I also hold a Master's of Business. Currently, I am employed by Kaiser Permanente, where I oversee 36,000 surgeries in three sites. Soon to be a fourth site as we open a brand new hospital in Hillsborough. I'm currently, right now, hiring over 120 people to staff our 10-room operating room in Hillsborough, including a robot to do robotic surgery. My interest in this is really, it was interesting to hear the Oregon Patient Safety Board, because I really see now there is different skills from when I started in healthcare 30 years ago. We, and I take from my operating room background, but we can see with buying a robot, the technology that's involved in healthcare is just exponential. The other thing that really where my heart and passion lies is, what are the skills that we really need to do to create just-in-time teams? And again, every operation that we do, every surgery, you have to create a just-in-time team, which means it's very important that you have the skills for communication and handoff. So we're doing some very interesting interviewing as we look for the skills for our operating room in Hillsborough. We do simulations, like how do you act under pressure? So I'm very interested in workforce and workforce development, and I'm honored here to be considered for this appointment.
Great. Well, thank you for bringing your background to what's an important board. I think I actually serve as a legislative member on OWIB, and I think you'll find it really interesting. So, any questions or comments? So, when does the Hillsborough facility actually open?
We are opening August 6th.
It's very nice.
Yeah, it's a beautiful facility, and the operating rooms are just fantastic.
Great. Well, we'll look forward to seeing it, and I'm sure Senator Starr sounds like he's already been there. So, okay, well, thank you again. I'll close this public hearing, and committee stand at ease for just a moment.
Madam Chair, may I just make a statement?
Yes, Senator Starr.
I just, as folks come up and testify, there's not a lot of interaction and give and take, and I just want folks to know how impressed I am with the quality of you as Oregonians who are willing to step forward and volunteer your time, energy, and effort. So I've read the resumes of all the information you all submitted. It's really fantastic to have such quality Oregonians willing to step forward and serve in such a variety of capacities. So I just wanted to put that on the record.
Thank you, Senator Starr. I appreciate you saying that, because it really is true that you bring an incredibly diverse and just startling number of qualifications to various important boards, and I don't think our state could possibly do the things we do without your great work. And also, what's striking today is that so many of you have stayed through the entire hearing. I don't know if you were told that you had to be here, because usually people will testify in front of us and then they have to go. So it's really quite heartening to have a room full of people for the last people to appear to feel like there are others listening to them. So we really appreciate you in all sorts of ways. And with that, I will open a work session and move the following appointments and reappointments to the following boards and commissions to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed en bloc. Sherry Moss Anderson to the Oregon Educators Benefit Board, Jonathan Grossart to the State Board of Massage Therapists, Chad Dresselhaus, Lori Goolsby, and Dwight Terry to the State Mortuary and Cemetery Board, Patrick Chapman, Gregory Eckel, Sarah Ogushi and Charles Wiggins to the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners, Naturopathic Medicine, Ryan Wayman to the Oregon State Board of Nursing, Juanita Shepherd to the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board, Molly Cardinal and Jeffrey Pelson to the Oregon Board of Optometry, Dr. Chaba Mera and Bonnie Thompson to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors, Heather Anderson to the State Board of Pharmacy, Sandra Jenkins and Dr. Anne Marie Smith to the State Board of Psychologist Examiners, Joe Lovato, Michael Addington, and Newton Arora to the State Board of Tax Practitioners, Stephen Pixley, Diana Team, Carol Hickman, Bern Kronberger, Joan Lewis, and William Diaz to the Oregon Volunteers Commission for Voluntary Action and Service, Jessica Rodriguez Montaigne and Barbara Spencer to the Commission for Women, Lori Luchek and Claire Spanbach to the State Workforce Investment Board. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, it's so ordered, and so these appointments will all move to the Senate floor in the next few days, and we do need a volunteer to carry this motion on the floor. I know Senator Farioli just performed that duty yesterday, so it's probably somebody else's turn to do it. Senator Starr will carry the motion on the floor, and thank you all for being here today. I will close the work session, and with nothing to come before us, we are adjourned. Mm-hmm.